brought to you by Burr and Foreman, broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia. It's time for Results Matter Radio, where we bring you pertinent business information and offer real-life solutions to help drive desired results for you, whatever your business may be. Now, here are your hosts, Elizabeth Gordon and Lee Cantor.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Elizabeth Gordon. Thanks for tuning in to Results Matter Radio. Dana Barrett is with me today as the producer for our show. And if you've been listening to Results Matter Radio, you know that we have been focusing on Atlanta World Showcase and Governors International Awards for a couple of weeks now. And today is another one of these special shows. With me in the studio this morning is Kevin Scott, who is the co-founder of Addo Institute, which was the winner of the New Company of the Year. Kevin, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks. I'm glad to be here.
Dana and I are thrilled that you're here to join us this morning.
Yeah, and of course, in the studio, we just got finished talking about acknowledging noise outside the studio. And as soon as we go on the air, what happens? Someone starts hammering. And I love it. Welcome to Results Matter.
Right. It's a bang-up time here this morning. And we're going to have a good time getting to know Kevin. So let's start with the company itself, Addo Institute. You and your business partner co-founded it in 2011.
That's correct.
New company. How'd you get the idea? What's the concept?
Yeah, Addo is kind of the culmination of kind of a past few years of really focusing on working with young people and a real focus on developing leaders. Garrett Graveson was kind of my mentor when I was in college. He had started a charity that helped kids with HIV and AIDS called Hero for Children, based here in Atlanta, Georgia. And through that program, Garrett and I became good friends. And I was joking with you guys earlier that to be real honest, I joined the organization because I got to hang out with the football coaches and because 80% of the people in the organization were female. And so as a young guy, it seemed pretty smart to me to hang out with a bunch of girls. And Garrett and I became great friends and now in 2011 co-founded Addo together as a way to really develop leaders, not only in Atlanta, but around the world.
That's great. Well, I'm glad we're seeing a lot of women in that leadership crop and that they're involved in this. Now, you have done a lot of international travel, and part of what the program offers is for students to have the ability, or anyone really, to have the ability to travel internationally. Why do you think travel and seeing other parts of the world is so powerful for folks?
Yeah. You know, Addo is the Latin word for inspire. And inspire literally means to breathe life into something. And what we try to do with an international experience is to breathe life not only into that experience, but to the people going abroad. You know, for anybody who's been out of the country, there's something special and unique about being out of the country and out of your comfort zone that really starts to broaden your horizons and it lets you see life from a different point of view.
You know, we had a guest on probably several months ago. And I can't even tell you what show they were on, but it was also a program for young people, for very young people, I think middle school age, where they were taking kids out of the country to see other places. And even I think around the country a little bit. But one of the things they said was that for some of these inner city kids who kind of think their block, their neighborhood, the kids that are sort of getting into trouble is the whole world, that it really changes their perspective and gives them hope. That there is more to the world and they don't have to be stuck and that they can pursue other things. So I really relate to what you're saying.
Yeah, and it's true because it works whether you're 18 or you're 80, that when you get those opportunities to experience life, it's different. We have our model we call engage, expose, equip. And the way we work on this is we want to engage people where they are with things that interest them. It's one of the reasons we take people to Cuba because people want to go somewhere where you can't legally go. And so we take them legally. So that engages them with what they're interested in. Then when they're out of the country, we want to expose them to something different, something that stretches them, something that challenges the way they think about things. And then the third piece is the equip piece. You know, a lot of people do the engagement and the exposure, but we really want to make an effort to equip people to come back home and make an impact here, whether that's in their business or at their school or at their church or with their family. We want to equip people to actually lead and make a difference. So that's kind of the model with Addo.
Now, this is your second entrepreneurial venture. What have you learned as an entrepreneur in starting businesses and building them?
Yeah, in one word, it's hard. That would be the first thing I would say.
It's not the easy road.
You know, it's not easy because a lot of people have this idea that, you know, I'm going to quit my job and I'm going to try something new and I'm going to really just work for myself. I think that's why that breeds a lot of the entrepreneurial nature in people. And I think that's absolutely true that you have that. But I think it's not easy. We a lot of times see stories of people who are just wildly successful. And it's great. Sarah Blakely is a great example. Spanx in Atlanta. She is
amazing.
I guess the youngest female billionaire ever. She's incredible. And that is true that you can do that. But it takes a lot of effort along the way to get there. And I think that's a lot of things that people overlook. And so a lot of entrepreneurs quit early on, and they're not willing. But if you can keep putting in the effort, you have an amazing opportunity. And that's why after starting one entrepreneurial venture, we kind of had that bug and that itch and didn't want to go get the normal corporate job.
Now, would you say the same thing is true about leadership in terms of it not being easy?
Completely. And it's another thing is – with leadership, just like with entrepreneurship, the best way to learn it is to do it. And I am an avid reader of the books on leadership and on entrepreneurship. But if you're actually going to learn it, sometimes it's one of those things where it's trial by fire and you got to just kind of sink or swim. And when you're thrown into those situations, you end up having an opportunity to learn a lot. You know, I was fortunate enough when I met Garrett when I was in college working with that charity. It was actually the largest charity on a college campus in the entire Southeast. We were leading 1,500 college students. And in my early 20s, I had no idea how to lead people. But when you're thrown into those situations, you have to figure it out. And by doing that, I think it really sets you apart further down the road.
So let's talk specifically about the types of programs that you offer and the different groups that you offer them to. There's you've sectioned off the different programs into three categories,
uh-huh,
right?
That's correct.
Talk me through that.
Well, and the great news is that anybody listening to this radio show has a way they can get involved with Addo because there's something that really works for everybody. And that was our idea with it, is it's leadership for all ages, all interests, all backgrounds. Our first one that people probably enjoy the most talking about is global leadership, which we talked a little bit about getting people
study abroad, yep,
study
go to
abroad.
Cuba.
That's right. So one option is study abroad. We work with a company called Discover Abroad. It's the largest short-term study abroad program in America. So if any student, college student anywhere in America wants to go abroad, they can go with this company, and Addo teaches the leadership curriculum on this program. So it's a great group. We also consult on their marketing strategies. So this is a really exciting group. Additionally, though, we run what we call the Addo Ambassador Program, which is with individuals of all ages getting out of the country. And right now, our number one trips are trips to Cuba. So we take people legally to Cuba. I have to stress that legally, because a lot of people, they hear Cuba and they think embargo and, you know.
I know. I'm kind of surprised you haven't cornered him on this already, Elizabeth, because I'm wondering how you do that.
Well,
I have one eyebrow raised. This
I see that. There are companies in the United States that have legal licenses to be able to take people to Cuba. And the reason these are available is for kind of people-to-people and cultural interactions. It gives us a chance to see their life and really have an understanding of what they do. And so there are legal routes. They're just not, there are not many of them out there. And there are some for different interests. The Metropolitan Museum of Art takes people, and Harvard Business School. But we're an option that takes people on cultural trips. And when you arrive in Cuba, it's literally like a 1950s movie set. I mean, you see the classic cars race by and the old buildings and cigars and all the things that you think of with Cuba. But you really get an understanding and appreciation for that country and that culture. And you get to figure out if we're just real honest, is it working? Because that's really a lot of the question is we think, well, it's communism and how does that work? And I don't want to get into political stuff, but when you get down there, you kind of see firsthand that the system isn't working and there has to be another way.
I'm sure it opens up a lot of interesting questions. Now, do the people that go on the program, they dialogue together? Or they, what's the means by which, you know, all this learning and discussion transpires while they're there?
You hit the nail on the head. We are real focused on people-to-people interaction. So whereas a normal tourist group, like we would go and see, you go to an art gallery. Well, when we take a group to Cuba, you don't just go to an art gallery. You meet with the artists afterwards and talk to them. You don't just go and hear us. You don't go learn to salsa dance and just walk away. You go see a performance. Then you have a one-on-one instructor, and you get to talk to this person about their life in Cuba and what it's like. And then we take those and we have dialogues with our group afterwards. So it really is exciting, and it's people of all ages. We've taken freshmen in college, and we have taken people in their 80s. Vince Dooley, who's a Hall of Fame football coach, he led a group with us of all of his friends in January this year. So we've literally, whether you're 18 or 80, we've had all of those people with us in Cuba.
And how do people get to be a part of this?
The best way is to check out our website. It's addoinstitute.com. Addo is just A-D-D-O, institute.com. They can check it out. The best way, we do offer trips that are open trips sometimes, but it's best when people put together a group and say, we've got 10 friends or a few couples that want to go or just some friends, and that's how we've done. We are actually taking the University of Georgia College of Agriculture alumni. I think I can say that. University of Georgia College of Agriculture alumni, a lot of words, the week after Thanksgiving this year. And so they're just going down and that's the other neat thing with Addo is you can focus on your interests. So if you're interested in agriculture, you can do that. If you're interested in art, you can work on that. If you're interested in music.
I think my book club needs to.
There you go.
Needs to go.
That, absolutely.
Nice. There you go, Dan. We can organize a trip.
I will.
I'm in.
We can read all, you know, Cuban literature. And there's lots of great literature that's related to Cuba. And then we can go on a trip and see the locations. And I think that would be amazing.
Well, speaking of literature, one of the most famous American authors lived in Cuba for a while, Ernest Hemingway.
Sure.
And that's a big part of our trip is going to where Hemingway had his favorite daiquiri and you go see his old home in Cuba, actually the home where he wrote Old Man and the Sea. So it's Nobel Prize winning.
Very cool.
Pulitzer Prize, not Nobel Prize.
Pulitzer, yes.
I think that's right.
Yeah, one of those big prizes.
Yeah, it was important.
It was very, very important.
So do you get to go on all these trips, Kevin? Tell me about some of your recent adventures.
Yeah, so Garrett and I, one of us, lead all of the trips. So either my business partner or I are with every group. He led a group in March with 60 Wharton MBA students. So I know that was a fun time. But in addition to that, he and I do other trips. And our most recent trip was to Romania, where we were hosted and chaired a European leadership conference. So it brought together young European leaders from 30 countries. And we had an opportunity to just kind of teach our leadership curriculum. And it was really exciting because it shows that it doesn't just work with American students right here.
I was going to ask you, so were there differences in the types of challenges that the young leaders are facing? I mean, Europe has a very different economic climate right now.
You're exactly right. And while the challenges were different, the advice to the students was really the same because it was, you know, we each have, Garrett and I kind of have our signature things we talk about. Garrett talks a lot about, he calls them his seven stops. And it's things that we need to stop. We're always talking about what we need to start doing. And he talks about, here's some things you need to stop doing. You know, stop thinking you're crazy. You know, stop.
I like that one.
Stop dreaming just at night. Like, if you ever get a chance to hear Garrett speak, it's incredible. It's great. And then I talk a lot about exchanges. When I grew up, I collected baseball cards. Everybody collected something. Did you collect anything?
Dolls.
Okay. I know Beanie Babies were real big. Remember when the Beanie Baby phenomenon was huge?
I do. Like, I would buy them.
Yeah, that was a little after my...
Yeah, I could pretend that I would buy them for my daughter, and then I would buy one extra one to that she wouldn't wreck that we ostensibly could sell someday.
Yeah, because it had to have the tag on it. Correct. If it didn't have the tag, it wasn't good anymore.
Yeah, and let me just say it didn't work because however many years later, I just basically, I think I sold them all for like $5 or gave them away at a yard sale. I'm not sure.
That thing crashed.
Yeah, crashed.
But when you think of collecting something.
Right.
There's something like there were always certain ones you wanted. Like for me, the baseball card I always wanted was the Ken Griffey Jr. rookie card. It was like the card to get.
Right.
In order to get the card, I had to be willing to trade some other cards to get it.
To give up something and of I could, equal value.
Exactly. And I couldn't just trade some card of some no-name player. So what we talk about with students is that if we want things of value in life, we've got to be willing to give up things in order to get those. And we have 8 exchanges of things that we think are important for them to make, to exchange acceptance. Yeah, so one of them we talk about is exchanging acceptance for accomplishment, exchanging kind of all for a college student. It's really easy. You know, you can have options to do things that make you fit in and help you out, or you can make decisions that help further you along in what you want to actually do with your life. And one of my favorite quotes, Zig Ziglar says, "The chief cause of failure and unhappiness is trading what we want most for what we want now." And it happens so often that we really, really want to achieve something in life, but we're consistently choosing short-term pleasure. And because of that, we're a lot of times not getting to our goals. And we talk to students a lot. There's a lot of things that you're going to have to give up. And it's not always choosing between good and bad decisions. Because whether you're a student or you're a business people, it's not really choosing between good and bad decisions. It's choosing between good and gooder decisions, but better decisions. You know,
I love that.
So, yeah, you've got to make decisions. If we're just going to talk about choosing between good and bad things, that's a waste of our time. We need to talk about how do you choose the things that are best for you in life.
I think that's huge for people of any age, don't you?
Absolutely. It sounds like people walk away from this with a whole different mindset.
Yep.
Now,
I love that quote too. I might have to make you say that again.
It's great. Yeah, absolutely. Zig Ziglar, the chief cause of failure and unhappiness is trading what we want most for what we want now.
Great quote.
It's absolutely great.
So you also work with high school and college age students in the student leadership program. How does that work?
Yeah, to be honest, be real honest here, we never wanted to work with high school students. Didn't have a desire to. We had worked with college students and young professionals. And when we started Addo, we had this desire that we could create a leadership conference for young people. And here's the interesting part, at a price they could afford. Because there's a lot of great leadership conferences. Chick-fil-A LeaderCast is in Atlanta. It's a huge one every year. They bring in some of the top speakers. There's a lot of good conferences. They're expensive.
Right.
They cost money. And when you're a professional, it's important to invest in continued education and learning. However, for young people, a lot of times they don't have the resources to do that.
To take that first step towards investing in themselves.
Exactly. So we also didn't want to be this nonprofit that was out peddling for money and trying to raise support. So what we said is, what if we could find a way to have consumer businesses that wanted to reach students? So to call it a Chick-fil-A or a Coca-Cola or somebody who's selling their products to students that wanted to spend their marketing budget to help reach them. So we would take their funding and then we would put on a leadership conference promoting those brands, but offering it to students at a very inexpensive price. So students are getting the high quality first class experience, but they're getting it at a price that's reasonable for them.
How does this augment what the traditional education system is providing, the leadership skills?
Yeah.
How does that relate?
So there's obviously education and there's inspiration, and we really want to inspire students. We want to inspire them to want to learn more. So the inspiration piece is important, and then our curriculum, our model is focused not just on information, but on transformation. We're not just trying to teach them more. We're trying to move them to action. The result of our conference is not you walk away with a book of notes and you say, well, I really learned a lot. The result of the conference, if it's successful, is that you go and do something. But the interesting thing we found was we tried to reach college and young professionals, and then we have a conference and a whole bunch of high school students show up. And we realized that because some of them had their moms with them. And we're like, this is probably not college level when they have their moms with them. But
I can tell you from experience that college kids don't want their moms anywhere around.
Exactly. When the high school students may not either, but they didn't
have
a choice.
Yeah,
exactly. So the high school students show up, and we realized there was a real need that people aren't tapping into that. They're not going after that market. And if they are, here's the interesting thing about leadership. They're either reaching the very high achievers, very wealthy, very high achievers, or they're reaching inner city, what they call at-risk students. There was nobody we found that was bridging that gap. They were saying, we actually think, regardless of your background or your socioeconomic status, that you have the potential to be a leader, and so we can influence every single one of those students, regardless of their level.
That's awesome. Now, so with that, from that reaction, now you've tailored the program more to that demographic as well.
That's exactly right. So that's a good business lesson for anybody. It doesn't matter what line of business you're in, is you've always got to be open to unexpected opportunities. And while it is important as a business person to know what you do well and what you're not going to do, that is important. But when a new line of business opens up for you, that's just so important to seize that. And that's what we've done. And now a central part of our organization is developing. We're in the research and development stage of a high school leadership curriculum that's project-based. So not only will students learn leadership, they'll put it into practice. Because this is one thing we've learned interesting about students is, whereas if you went to a leadership conference, you have an outlet with which to apply what you've learned. A student learns leadership, and then they're in math class the next day. And it's like, this is boring.
Right. So they're not immediately given an opportunity to exhibit behaviors or take actions that they might have learned about the day before. And
nail on the head. Exactly. And so what we say is that teaching leadership to high school students leads to short-term inspiration, but long-term frustration, because they don't have an outlet to apply this.
Right.
So what we
create,
they
know what's possible.
Exactly. Now they just don't know. So not only do they learn it, they create a project that impacts their community. And so our vision is that students across America will be learning leadership and applying those skills to make a positive difference in their community.
Now, what are you noticing? Because we have talked a lot about the Gen X workforce and the changing dynamic there. What observations have you made about young people and the types of opportunities they're looking for to lead in their community or at work?
Yeah, when we talk about this generation, Generation X, and now coming up Generation Y, there are some real negative things, but there are also some real positive things. The negative things is we kind of have a reputation as an entitlement. We get a degree and we want the six-figure job when we come out, and we don't want to put in the work. But I think that Gen X and Gen Y, if you can help them feel like they are a part of something, that they really are committed to working hard. They want to be a part of something, and they want to be hands-on, especially when it comes to philanthropy. Because something that's interesting in a lot of corporate cultures is they have ways, through great organizations like the United Way, to do charity campaigns and to give. And the next generation that's coming up is saying, that's great, but that's not enough for us. We want to be involved. We want to be hands-on. We don't want to just give to the homeless shelter. We want to go and serve the food at the homeless shelter. And that's, if you can find a way to engage your younger employees with hands-on opportunities, I think their level of involvement, engagement in your company goes through the roof.
Now, you mentioned earlier that you do a lot of consulting for organizations around leadership. What are some of the challenges that your clients or companies that you've consulted for are seeing right now, and how have you helped them overcome them?
Yeah, I'd say there's a couple of big challenges. One is what we're talking about. It's one generation trying to figure out how to work with the next generation. And so a lot of times what we do is we come into an organization and we start out working with a younger group, and we end up with the older group saying, all right, tell us how do we work with this group better? So that's one piece of it. The other piece is that in the entrepreneurial business world today, we're reading a lot of books about innovation and creativity and disruption, and we see really cutting-edge companies in Silicon Valley that have unique corporate cultures. And so there's a real tension in how do we embrace this idea of innovation within our company and at the same time maintain some semblance of order? Because that's a real challenge. A lot of people, they're like, well, we like the idea of innovation, but we also don't want our employees to always think of crazy ideas because we have a job we have to get done here.
Right, so, striking that balance.
It's really key.
Between a dynamic culture and one that is going to run smoothly day to day.
Yes, exactly. And so I think it's different for each group, but the first step is recognizing that. If you recognize that that's an issue within your company, then you have an opportunity to kind of work through that.
I think on the age issue, you know, in terms of groups working together across age and generational boundaries, really interesting, because I was at a talk last night and the speaker said, you know, back in the old days, in many cultures, all cultures, old people were considered wise because they had been around and they had more experience. And now it's the opposite. It's old people are looked at as you don't know what's going on because you're not up on technology.
Uh-huh.
So you may have some wisdom,
yep,
but you're not with it. You're not.
Yep.
We don't value you because you don't understand, you know,
yeah,
crowdfunding or whatever, you know, whatever the new buzzwords
Twitter
are, right?
Anger.
You don't.
Right.
I'm so glad you said that, because that's something that Garrett and I are really focused on with Addo in general when we work with young people in leadership, because leadership is one of two things. Now, one is you read the book by guys who we love, like a John Maxwell or these great leaders, and you look at them and you say, well, you tell me to do all these things, but that's easy for you. You're 65 and you drive a Mercedes and you have the big corner office. Like, we get that. And then there's another group who says, we want to throw out all the information from that generation and do new things. Garrett and I try to bridge that gap, because we want to reach those, take the wisdom and the knowledge from the older leaders, but we're still kind of young. You know, I'm under 30, and so we look kind of like them. And so we're able to say, let's take this wisdom and repackage it into something that's relevant for this generation. Because
yeah,
it's really important not to just pass off this wisdom of another generation and say, well, they're stupid because they don't know how to do Twitter and
Kickstarter. They call it Twittering instead of tweeting or whatever. You
exactly.
Know? It's funny because I was just on the phone with my mom this morning explaining crowdfunding. She'd
uh-huh.
never heard of it. And she's, you know, in her late 70s. Sorry, Mom. And, you know, I was explaining crowdfunding, and my stepbrother's doing some crowdfunding for a project he's working on, and I'm getting involved in a project that happens to be doing some. And she's actually, you know, she was in business for many years. She's, you know, a very smart woman. And it took her 2 minutes, and she was like, oh, okay, that's really interesting. And here's why your stepbrother's project is not really going to work and yours is, which was great. But you know, I think the point of me bringing that up is just that it's not that the older generation can't understand that and can't embrace these new things. It's just that they don't keep up at the same pace necessarily because
yep.
they're not used to that. They didn't have to.
Yep. That's exactly right.
So, Kevin, what types of audiences do you typically speak to?
Wow. All over the world. This last week, Garrett and I were up at New York Entrepreneur Week, working with some entrepreneurs, some of the best and brightest from around the country. Last Thursday, and the Atlanta Business Chronicle is one of the sponsors of the Governor's International Awards. I helped MC some of the 40 Under 40 Awards in Atlanta, which is always exciting to me to see the next group of young people who are making a real difference. And so hosting, MCing, and then speaking at a lot of international conferences. And then yesterday I was at, of all places, at Auburn University. They're having a rough football season, but they've still got really some good leaders, and we are working with them, some of their freshman leadership programs. So really all types. And we really cater our message to those audiences.
And what about mentors that you've had over the years? Who has helped you and developed you in terms of a leader, and how?
Yeah, and that I love that question, because it goes back to what you were saying about the leaders, like, not discounting the work of the wisdom of older leaders. So, like, Vince Dooley has been somebody who, through three organizations, has supported us and encouraged us. He's been incredible. Hall of Fame football coach that's so busy, but he takes time out of his schedule to help young people. A guy by the name of Ike Reichard, who is a chief people officer in Atlanta for a while, co-authored a book with Zig Ziglar last year, has really helped me. And both Garrett and I have made a real effort to seek out mentors who can help provide that wisdom that we can pass on to young people.
Awesome. So we've got a tradition here on the Results Matter radio show where we like to talk results. And we've been talking about the Atlanta World Showcase and Governors International Awards and ADDO, the organization you founded. What are the results that you've created and what are the results you're looking forward to in the future?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think the results that we've created so far is evidenced in the people who've been on our programs. And like we said before, you know, it's great that people come to a conference. We had a conference in March where people came to, but the results that we like to talk about are that we packed meals for 25,000 people in Haiti. So tying in to our leadership, this real service model. And in the future, you know, our goal, a good result would be a successful pilot program of this new curriculum, and hopefully by next fall, people will be hearing about in high schools, or initially across Georgia and then across the country, about a leadership program that changes the way high school students see the world.
This new leadership curriculum that you're developing sounds really exciting.
Yeah, it's great.
I'm sure people are very much looking forward to adopting that and seeing the results from that. And obviously, congratulations on the award and being part of the Atlanta Business Chronicles World Showcase and Governors International Awards. It's been a real pleasure having you on the show.
Thanks for having me. This has been great.
Let's make sure everybody knows your website if they want to find out more information and any other. I know you guys have a blog and there's lots of great information on the website.
Yep.
So
again, the website is ADDO Institute, ADDOInstitute.com. ADDO, again, is the Latin word for inspire. We're on Facebook. We're really trying to ramp up our Facebook likes. So if we ask you to do one thing, it'd be like us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter too. We're not that old, but we're still trying to figure out that Twitter thing.
So. Awesome. Thanks, Kevin. And thank you, Dana Barrett. This is Elizabeth Gordon for Results Matter Radio here on BusinessRadioX.com. And we'll talk to you next week.
This has been a joint production of Burr and Foreman and Business Radio X. Burr and Foreman is a full-service law firm with offices across the Southeast. If results matter to you and you want them to matter to your law firm, please give Burr and Foreman a call at 404-685-4337. For more information and to find the right attorney for you, visit burr.com. That's B-U-R-R.com.